You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
The Vietnam War, it's over.
Your job's just begun.
A new HBO original limited series.
Welcome to the world of spycraft.
Strap in.
From executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr.
What are you concealing?
Based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel by Viet Thanh Nguyen.
What if I told you that I was a communist spy?
How did you become this?
The Sympathizer, streaming April 14th on Max. Subscription required.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
It's a GH report. We got a lot of crazy things happening this week. We got Anna acting like a big dope. What's going on? Nell is free to claim Wiley. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the GH report, bringing out all the craziness that's happening there in Port Charles, New York. Monday through Fridays on ABC TV. I'm your host, Frank Moran. I went with the wide because we're just so used to the wide, but I'm going to just carefully pan over so you can see my up-close and personal face right here, folks. I'm Frank Moran. Carla Renata, he's usually my cohort in crime. She has been on assignment, but I think we may get a call from her in just a few minutes, so we'll be able to, while not see each other, we'll still be able to hear each other and have a nice conversation about what's been happening all this week on Port Charles. But to make that happen, we need the best technician in town, the man who's going to make everything run smoothly for the show, and that's who we have here, Josh in the booth.
Hey, Frank, how we doing?
Oh, my gosh, knowing that you're commanding the ship, I feel super confident.
Well, listen, I'm going to be by the phone right now. When we get Carla in, I'll be sure to chime her in.
Oh, man, look at that. So, yes, we'll be talking about this. We'll talk maybe a little bit of news and gossip towards the end of the show, and until that time when Carla says, you know what? Well, I'll deem them, you know, good enough to call in. We'll just talk about some of the stuff that's been happening this week on Port Charles. Josh, I know you're a huge fan, so I know you've been watching, you know, with bated breath about everything that was happening this week.
Definitely. I do love all the drama that goes on in Port Charles.
That's true. For such a small town in New York, it has such a lot of drama.
Definitely.
Probably the biggest thing that happened this week, though, is that Real Andrews, who came back to reprise his role as Marcus Taggart, and put his life on the line to save his daughter, ended up losing his life during the warehouse shootout. It looked like that he had died last Friday, the previous Friday's episode, as he kind of leaned over to the side while he was in the warehouse because he was bleeding out from a stomach gunshot. But a little bit of a fake out because he actually did make it to General Hospital and was alert enough to both get the riot act read to him by Jordan. Actually kind of reach some sort of agreement or just like a little understanding between him and Sonny, and then got to spend a little time with his daughter, Trina, and things seemed to be going good until he sent her away to go get some malted milk balls because that's his favorite candy to eat. And Josh, if you were in the hospital and you needed to eat one type of candy, what would you, if you were saying, hey, do me a favor, run out to the vending machine and get me this, what would it be?
Funny enough, I had a similar conversation to this with my girlfriend. She was asking me if I had a favorite candy like a few weeks ago. And then yesterday we were talking about Warheads, like sour candies.
Yeah,
I remember eating those when I was a kid. And I was like, you know what? Remember when you said I had a favorite candy and I didn't say I had one? Well, scratch that. Warheads. So if I was in the hospital, I'd definitely ask for some Warheads.
Are Warheads? I've never had Warheads myself. So they're the completely sour the whole way through, or do they get sweet as you get to the center?
They are initially sour at first, but once you get to the center, it's super, super sweet. I remember just eating those as a little kid and just loving them and then just forgetting about them until yesterday.
What are they shaped like?
They're shaped more or less like a cough drop in a sense, just a little bit bigger than a cough drop, and it's just really just sour. It has different flavors, so you have lemon, you have watermelon, you have, I believe, Thunder Blueberry or something like that. I forget what it was, but it's just the packaging of it. I always remember that. It's just a caricature of a face with a mountaintop blowing up the top of the head and just sour pucker lips, and you'll never forget that.
When you call it candy warhead, the fact that it's shaped like cough drops and not like a missile seems like a big miss.
Well, you're not really focused on that when you're definitely puckering up your lips from the sourness.
For me, it would be Milk Duds. Josh, I'm a Milk Duds guy through and through.
Classic.
Can't go wrong with those. I want them. I want my teeth stuck together with a mixture of caramel and chocolate, and you know, have the dentist have to come to unlock my jaw while I'm in the hospital getting worked on for some other reason. But he ended up asking for malted milk balls, which I'm not a huge fan of. You can't get me to pick Whoppers. I'll never choose Whoppers. But he does. Sends Trina to the vending machine. And when she comes back, finds out that Taggart, there was something that went on. There was a blood clot, which often happens with gunshot wounds. And he had died. So I talked with Carlo about this last week, saying that if you're going to bring back a character like Taggart, you do need to set some stakes for this gang war. So, you know, it's one thing to kill the two other partners that Taggart.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Hi, I'm your inner dream monologue, and you're fast asleep, so I'll be quick. Great job using the Colgate Optic White Overnight Teeth Whitening Pen before bed. When used as directed, it gives you a visibly whiter smile in just 7 days. So while I fly and talk to animals, you're removing teeth stains with ease. Sweet dreams. And when you wake up, keep on living life to the brightest. Colgate Optic White. Find it at all major retailers.
And Jordan had. We never met them. We had no relationship to them. Basically, they're there just to kind of make the story seem, the stakes seem a little bit higher. But if you really want to hit home with how serious this is, you need to perhaps kill somebody that may not be a main featured character on General Hospital, can be somebody like a Taggart who comes back from the past. You do have some affinity for him. You do have some relationships for him. You do have some feelings towards him. But you can kill him off without doing any major repercussions to the main cast of characters. So I could see him being dead. I've also read rumors online that this could be a fake out, that he faked his own death just to lie low so Trina would be safe and that he could go and pursue Cyrus while Cyrus thinks he's dead, gives him a chance to operate. So that could be also true, too. I mean, I'd be happy to see Rhea Andrews come back as Taggart and find out that it was just a fake out the whole time. I feel like that he was laying in there in the hospital room with Jordan coming in, with Trina right there, Trina holding his hand. So if that was a fake death, I mean, you're going to have to convince me that Epiphany and Lucas all bought into, like, all right, yeah, we're in on faking this death with you. And did they give him some sort of sedative that slowed his heart rate down so much that he could be in that room with people talking around him and nobody realizing, like, hey, that guy is still breathing? So, yeah, I will be, you know, I'll be curious to see how they were able to pull this one off. But I wouldn't mind if they did it. So, folks, you know, I was mentioning about Carly calling me into chat, and I'm sure you're wondering, hey, what if we want to share our thoughts about the GH report? Well, there's a couple ways you can do that. You can like us on Facebook. You can give us 5 stars on iTunes. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel. And we also have a chat up and running. I know there are people already in there. Carla would usually give everybody a shout-out if she were here, just in your head.
But while she's not here, I'm in the booth, and I'll give some people some shouts out right now. So we got Joe Costanzo. We got Tom Kleb. We got Shakira Pickens. We got Annie Goen. We have Loretta Johnson. Of course, we got P.I. Kelly. We got Amber Purcell. We got Lindsay Wagner. We got Jody Delay. We got Dolores Leach. We got Rena Sheen. We have, who else do we see? Jasmine Edwards. We got D.T. Durr. We have, I believe I saw Michael Biehn here somewhere. Yep, we do see Mark Biehn, Julie Pittman, and a whole lot of other people just sending their support for Yo. So thank you all for tuning in, and stay tuned.
Well, Josh, they came to listen to you. I mean, they have to put up with me.
I mean, I think they're more in tune for yourself and Carla. I don't really think they really care who's in the booth or not.
No, Josh. I'm going to describe myself as the sour exterior. They have to deal with me to get to you, the sweet little inside.
So we're essentially the Warheads after show.
That's right. That's right. There you go. We're talking nothing but Warheads today, folks. Call in. Let us know what your favorite flavors are. No, I'm just kidding. Don't call in. This is not Warheads Candy Show. Josh and I are working on that. We'll let you know when that's going to be spun off on AfterBuzz. It'll be an exciting show. You're going
to
love it.
Coming to YouTube streams next month.
That's right. So, you know, with one person down, perhaps fatally and forever, Marcus Taggart, everybody's reeling right now. There's the weight of his death is affecting a lot of people. Taggart's time back when he was on the show in the late 90s, early 2000s, he made a connection with a lot of different characters. So his return was great, but it also affects a lot of people when he's taken off the canvas now too. So one is Trina. Elizabeth immediately takes her home to comfort her. And I did like the bit with Cameron recognizing that, holy cow, when I thought I lost Franco, Trina was really there for me. And I hope that I can be there for her. Now, he has this conversation with Franco. And, I don't know what it is about Franco. It's, I'm not the hugest Franco fan. I enjoyed Franco more when he was playing with Drew's memories. But when Cameron is kind of has this dilemma just his feelings, and he's trying to express it to Franco. I don't know. Franco just kind of, he was just like, you'll be there for her, and let's go. It's like Franco, for as much as he seemed like to want to make a connection with Elizabeth's kids, now that he's back and they're excited to have him back in his life, I don't know. Franco just kind of lets me down in terms of the parental kind of support figure that you would want in your life. So, yeah, we'll see what happens with him. But who does come to visit Trina, though, is Ava. She hears about what's happened to her dad. And I have liked the bit of a relationship that they've developed between Trina and Ava. And we'd always, her coming to the gallery, her interning, them kind of having a really kind of nice little bond that's been forming. And so it was a nice touch to have Ava come over and just to touch base with Trina. And it's always nice to see when Ava doesn't, at least on the surface, and maybe even consciously have any ulterior motives. But we finally get to see Trina's mom. We've been hearing her mention, my mom. She finally arrives in town. We finally get to see her on camera. And her reception to Ava is much, much chillier. Basically, she knows about Ava's past. She's been married to a cop. So she's tuned in to the Jerome family. And I'm sure she's read that Crimson article as well. But she just lets Ava know in no uncertain terms that, Trina is my daughter, and I'll be taking care of her, and you don't need to worry about anything. And, once again, Ava walks out of there wounded, as she does so well. Mara West is great at playing the version of Ava that wants to reach out to have that sort of human connection, and when it's shut down, she just immediately gets so wounded, and she leaves and goes to the Metro Court. And I do like that Nicholas, even though, quote unquote, is Ava's husband, says, she's probably better off on her own or with somebody else that could probably be more comforting and understanding than I would be. So Franco chases her down to the Metro Court. And I did like that Ava holds no ill will towards Trina's mom. And even though found that Trina's mom was rather blunt in how she, spoke to Ava, she could not deny the fact that underneath it, the idea of that of Ava using Trina as sort of a substitute for Kiki is true. She saw a lot of stuff in Trina that reminded her of Kiki. And so consciously, subconsciously, she was very drawn to Trina and was forming that connection with her. But having that cold water of reality just splashing on you that says, no, this isn't your kid. This isn't my kid. I'll be taking care of my kid. Thank you very much. I'll be curious to see how the relationship with Ava and Trina plays out after that. I would still like it to exist because I have liked that pairing and the dynamic and her being sort of a mentor to Trina. But I would like it there if there is that friction between mom and Ava. It could be for some nice scenes. So we've got Trina being taken care of by Elizabeth. We've got Jordan, though, Jordan is angry at everybody. She's angry at Taggart for doing this, for going to the warehouse, for reaching out to Curtis rather than reaching out to her, and for Taggart dying. And she's just mad at everybody. And it goes so far, in fact, as to draft her resignation letter and wants to come clean about everything she did, that she framed Cyrus with, she set up Cyrus by planting evidence that would convict him that he was guilty of, but still, she crossed the line as a police officer by planting false evidence, even though it was pinning something that this guy actually did. But Curtis talks her out of it, says, hey, yeah, if you do this, Cyrus goes free. And not only that, every other righteous conviction that you've had since then is also going to be scrutinized and most likely overturned as well. So you're going to be doing a lot more damage by resigning. So better to keep this to yourself, and let's figure out a way to shut Cyrus down for good. And, you know, Curtis has the right idea, I think, where he says, hey, come with me, takes him over to a Sonny's restaurant and says, hey, you know, Sonny, you've got connections with people that will tell you things that will never tell the police. And the police have information that they will never share with anybody on your side. So why don't we all work together? I'll be the middle person, because it wouldn't be good if you two were seen working together, but I'll be your go-between. And it seems like Sonny and Jason are kind of like, we'd be down to try something like this. But Jordan, adamant that she is not going to work with Sonny Corinthos. Not at all. I mean, he may seem like a nice guy. He may, as she said, you know, have a ward, a wing in the hospital named for Stone, but that he's financed. But he is still a criminal. And true, he is a criminal. I mean, we never exactly know what his particular stock and trade is in. We know what it's not, because he has some strict rules about stuff that is not going to come through poor Charles. But we never know exactly what it is other than coffee. But she's adamant that she's not going to do anything with Sonny. And I don't know. It seems kind of frustrating, because it's from Curtis's point of view, I think he's like, hey, we've got to try anything we can to shut Cyrus down. You've lost three people that were working with you.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The last person standing, and he's probably the one that's Cyrus is most heavily invested in. So we've got to do everything we can to keep you alive. But Jordan is so adamant. I don't know what's going to push her to do it. The only thing I could think of that could possibly tip the scales in her wanting to ultimately work with Sonny and Jason is if something happens with TJ, because there's just that unfortunate timing of Molly and TJ's fallout from the failed proposal that TJ had to Molly. And TJ left, and Molly hasn't seen him since. And tried to find him at home, wasn't at home, goes to work, can't find him at work, at the hospital. So goes to Jordan, says, hey, this all fell apart with TJ. I'm trying to find him, but I haven't seen him. And they compare texts. And Jordan has a text from TJ that comes after Molly's last text with him. But we all know that he could easily have been kidnapped, and somebody, one of Cyrus's men, could have sent that text as well, just to get Jordan off the trail. And they're holding out to TJ, and they're going to reveal that they have him to get Jordan to do what they want. So I feel like if that is indeed the case, which it seems like that would be the easiest thing to do. And I don't know why Jordan doesn't think that could be a possibility. Either she's playing the cards really close to the vest, or she doesn't want to tip Molly that TJ could be in danger. But it seems like she's like, it should be okay. Yeah, he's just probably dealing with whatever is going on between you and him without really thinking, oh, wait a second. Everybody else has been touched by this that is a family member of one of these four people that were involved in the Cyrus takedown. Maybe I should really get some eyes on TJ and not just accept a text message from him saying, oh, yeah, I just need some distance right now. So we'll see what happens there. From Sonny and Jason's point of view, Sonny is, while he's worked with police officers before, he would rather have leverage so that he has at least some way to kind of walk away from the whole thing without any kind of legal entanglements on his end. So he figures if he can get something on Jordan, specifically, what Cyrus does have on Jordan. Because they're easily able to figure out from Curtis's terrible poker face that there's something going on between Cyrus and Jordan. And most likely, it's not good. And so if Cyrus has something on Jordan, Sonny wants to know what that is so he can use that as leverage to, now I don't necessarily force Jordan to help him, but just have some reason to have her be helping him. I don't know if he'd ever hold that against her. I feel like Sonny's got some honor about that, that he would want to just force it, that they have to work together. But at the end, you go your way, I go mine. I always know the secret. I'm never going to say it unless, you know, worst comes to worst and you really force my hand to divulge that. So I feel like we're going to be waiting to see what happens coming up with that in the weeks to come. The other big storylines we got this week is what I loved about this week is that we've got everything that's been coming down on Michael. We've got that stuff with Wiley. We've got the whole ELQ stock drama going on, and it is all centered around Valentine. And it was nice that the show this week replayed the clip. They had a nice little flashback for Valentine while he was sitting there in the Metro Court, reminding all of us about what went down when Sasha was about to come clean to Nina about the truth that she wasn't really her daughter, and which happened around Halloween time, where Valentine says to Michael, "You do not want to make an enemy of me." And I remember that scene going down, but it also was like, "Oh yeah, that's right." And so it is a nice touch to have. Everything that's happening to Michael right now is just because of Valentine feeling crossed by Michael back when the revelation about Sasha came to light. So that is cool to see all this coming back. Valentine, there was a nice little bit that the show did with Valentine kind of biding his time, finding those, you know, those kind of weak points or pressure points on Michael to push. And so he's basically making Michael's life miserable right now. And Michael has no idea that Valentine's behind any of it at all. So it all starts off with Nell finally getting her day in court, and everybody's convinced that she's going to go down. I mean, she had the fake passports, and we all knew those were there. I mean, we saw Chase show her in prison right there about those fake passports. We had the assault on Willow. So it's like, hey, if she's assaulted a person, she basically forced her way into an apartment, took a baby, had forged documents and was ready to leave the country, a clear violation of parole. So she's got to go back to Pentonville. But unfortunately, there are no witnesses to what happened to Willow. It is basically just Nell's word against Willow's. There's no other third party kind of witness. There's no video camera recording inside the room. There's nobody else that witnesses this assault go down. So the judge won't allow that to go in. So then it comes down to the passports. And this was kind of lame. Lame, but I guess also cool, is because Valentine's sitting in the courtroom watching this as well. But the DA has to get up there, the assistant DA, while Robert has to sit there and just silently eat crow. But the assistant district attorney gets up and says, yeah, about those passports, we can't seem to find them. We don't know what happened to them. They were there. And I went this morning to go get them. They weren't there anymore. So because they have no evidence about this, the judge says, hey, I'm going to dismiss right now, but without prejudice. So if you do find evidence at a later time, we can do all this all over again. We can bring up the charges, have our time in court. But until then, everybody get out of here, and now you're a free woman. So, clearly Valentine did something to break into the PCBD evidence locker room and just take those passports away, which, man, you know, you would think with the PCBD, we know Sonny's got people on the payroll. Whether Valentine has people on the payroll or he just found somebody and just threw a lot of money their way to go get them the evidence, that is not the most secure place. You know, there's so much evidence that's gone missing. I guess you need that to happen for storylines to continue. I mean, nobody wants to see it just all wrapped up. Well, actually, I would like to see it all wrapped up where Nell's like, yep, I guess I'm busted. I'm going back to Pentonville. And then she's off. Well, I would like that. And maybe some other people would. The show's got to, you know, kind of milk the drama for as long as they can. So you've got to have the police seem like fools at many points along the way to let the bad guys escape long enough to cause some more mischief before they're ultimately brought down. So that's what happens this episode. Nell escapes, or Nell escapes, but Nell gets charges dismissed and immediately turns around and says, hey, guess what, Michael? I'm suing you, baby, because I want that baby Wiley. And nobody's convinced, least of all Willow, that Nell really wants Wiley for her reason, for altruistic purposes. She wants Wiley just to punish Michael and Carly, and she will sit in that courtroom and she will testify as much as she can to let everyone know that Nell is not a person you would want to be the mother of this child and have sole custody of. So we've got that kind of courtroom drama lying up, and before we actually get to that whole heated part, we do get a nice conversation between Valentine and Nell, where Valentine says, "Hey, yeah, you're free now because of me, and I got rid of those fake those passports." But I liked at the end of it where Nell just says, "Hey, yeah, I mean, I was wondering if maybe you want to get something, get a drink or something. You're single, I'm single. We could kind of figure it out." And I like Valentine just shuts that down immediately. It was great that Nell's like, "Yeah, hey, why don't I just see if I can hook up with you? Maybe get some more money. That'd be great." But Valentine just shuts it down. A nice little scene that I enjoyed there. But one other person that's taken a keen interest in Nell is Obrecht. Of course, Obrecht was the one that helped deliver the baby and knows that Nell is lying about not being in her right mind or being passed out when she wanted to go swap the baby. Obrecht knows what the deal is. But, of course, Obrecht doesn't want anybody to know that she was involved in it because, that's going to put some eyes on her that, she doesn't want right now because she's trying to turn her life around. She has a scene earlier in the week with Maxine Peter and saying, "Hey, I've been gone for a while. This was good. It was time away and it helped me kind of just work on myself and make me realize that, yeah, I've got to let go of the past. I let this anger, about Nathan's death, just hold on. It grabbed my heart and held on to it for too long. And I was incredibly cruel to you, Peter. So I want to apologize." And Peter accepts the apology. I mean, I feel like Peter is not really accepting it, but for Max's sake, we'll accept the apology. So it feels like Obrecht is trying to turn a new leaf because, she's got a great relationship with Maxie, wants to be near her grandson as well. So wants to be by baby James, sweet baby James. And also wants to get a shot if Maxie's never around to try to find the Colonel's secret recipe that is still hidden inside Maxie's apartment. Always know, any scene inside Maxie's apartment, the Colonel's secret recipe is nestled away on one of those bookshelves. Just know that. So she doesn't want this to go get out because that could damage her. It could get Sunny's eyes on her if she finds like, "Oh, wow, you were part of this baby swap."
All righty, Frank. Sorry to interrupt, but I do believe we have our favorite guest, Miss Carla Renata.
Well, Carla Renata, look at you.
Man. Look at you.
Look at this. You're a big burgeoning media empire. You've got fresh off the set, and you decided to call into the GH report.
I am so sad I am not there for the GH report. You know, General Hospital is my jamity jam jam, and I am so sad that I'm not there. I thought we would have wrapped a little earlier, but alas, that was not the case. But I had to at least call in and support my brother Frank and not leave you completely hanging.
No worries. Well, I've been talking a lot to these people about this past week. What have you thought about this past week?
Oh, my dear. I'm just, I was loving it when Miss Portia showed up. She was like, she's like, "Yes, that's my kid. Get your hands off and, go away." I love that now we actually know who the mother and the father of Trina are. And it's unfortunate that she lost her father the way that she did. I was kind of sad that they got rid of real Andrew so quickly, aren't you?
I was talking with that with the viewers before you hopped on. Do you think it's real, or do you think he's kind of faking his own death to kind of hide low so that the heat's off of him and he can come back and attack Cyrus later?
I'm conflicted about that. I honestly don't know, but it felt really real to me. It felt like it wasn't a fake out. And I was just like, oh, man, this sucks. Like, they just got, she just got a familial unit that we saw on camera, and now they're going to split up a happy home?
No. And for, at first I was like, oh, this is going to be fake. This is fake. But then when they cut back into the room and you saw his dead body there while Trina's holding his hand and Jordan's in the room, I was like, man, he's not holding his breath that long. So that's...
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
That's why I was like, oh, man, this really kind of sucks. I was sad about that. I was. I'm not even on front.
Yeah.
I was upset because I thought, oh, this is good. Because he had so many ties to Port Charles. There were so many things that could have gone wrong, that would have gone wrong, that were about to go wrong. And I was looking forward to them exploring him in that role a little bit more. I was sad to see that it didn't play out.
Yeah. You know, the one thing about the storyline that bugged me, not it's a beat that kind of always rubs me the wrong way, and it applies to, in general, I think overall, is when Cameron and Trina are talking and she says, oh, hey, yeah. When Cameron says, oh, you know, I lost Franco too. And Trina says, oh, yeah, but, you know, you got him back. And I feel like that happens a lot in soaps where people will try to sympathize with somebody because they've gone through that experience. But the other person mm-hmm. will say, like, oh, no, but my person's really dead. You got your person back. And so as to dismiss their feelings, where I'm like, yeah, okay, that might be true. But in that moment when they lost him, they know exactly how you feel. They may have gotten that person back, and that's great, but they still know because they felt that in that same moment.
Yeah, it's just like, yeah, I mean, I kind of agree with you on that one. It's like, it's never really a good thing to dismiss somebody else's feelings, especially when in regards to a loved one that's been lost. You know, that's just never really a good idea. I loved, but not really, was Molly running around trying to explain why she didn't want to marry TJ. I'm like, girl, you done dissed him and made him feel like a fool. There's no explaining that away.
What do you think the odds are that that TJ's been kidnapped by one of Cyrus's men? Or do you think he's just hanging low and just texting his mom saying, I just need some time to kind of sort myself out?
No, I think he's been kidnapped. There's going to be a full-on investigation and rescue mission that's going to happen for them to get him back. But I knew that he had been kidnapped the minute she said that when the discovery happened, where she said that he hadn't come home, that he left the restaurant after she said she didn't want to marry him, but then he didn't come home. And she said, he's never not come home. Yeah. And so she was really upset about it. And I knew in that moment, I'm like, oh, Lord, they didn't snatch poor little TJ.
Well, Carl, how do you feel about, because Curtis says, hey, all right, you've lost Taggart. You're the last person standing of the original four that brought Cyrus down. We've got to save you. We've got to figure out what to do. And he tries to offer the idea of like, hey, I'll be the go-between between you, Jordan, and Sonny and Jason. And Jordan is adamant. I will not work at all with Sonny Corinthos. Is Jordan being stubborn or too stubborn for this?
Hell yeah, she being a hot butter mess. Like, I'm going to need you not. Look, all I know is if that was me, four people that I knew, and that four people to myself, and of the four people that this person is after, three of them is gone, I would be trying to line myself up with anybody that was going to keep my life alive so that I could watch my son get married, watch my son have some kids, be a grandmama. Like, I need for that to go down. I think she's being ridiculously stubborn, but I think it's more because, not so much that she's being like, I'm being a pill, but more so along the lines of, I think that Cyrus has more on her than they're letting us know at the moment.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I know.
And I said this before. I feel like that relationship between them is a little deeper than we know.
Oh, interesting.
I'm just saying.
I got that.
I'm just saying.
I do, you know, but I have to get, you know, Curtis, for as well as intentioned as he is, he has the worst poker face. Because like, when Sonny and Jason are putting it together, going, well, clearly, Jordan's done something to Cyrus, or Cyrus has something in Jordan, what's going on between the two of them? Well, I got to go talk to my wife. And then just leaves. Like, come on, Curtis, you got to be smoother.
Yeah, I saw him do that. That was just, he did kind of just like say that out of nowhere and bounce. I was like, dude, really?
Yeah, I mean,
I agree with you. I was like, I'm gonna need you to have a little bit more finesse in that situation.
Exactly, because you all but confirmed that, yeah, there's something shady going on, but I'm not telling you guys. All right, cool. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Curtis.
Yeah, it was crazy. What do you think's gonna happen next week? Do you think we're gonna find out about TJ?
I feel like it is, but, you know, then I also feel like we kind of hit that same, I mean, I guess we'll have to see how it's different, because I feel like kidnapping has just been basically, we kidnapped Trina, so now we've just kidnapped TJ, and we're going to try to lure Jordan to this abandoned warehouse. I'll be curious to see how they make it different. Or if that's...
I'm curious to know what you think as we close up the show, because I know it's about that time. But I'm really loving the trajectory that the writers are taking with the show now. It's really a lot more interesting. It's not as predictable as it was. We kind of don't see things coming. Like that thing with Taggart, I didn't see that coming.
I would agree. The one thing I was telling the audience just before you called in is that I really loved the flashback scene they played with Valentin from last Halloween, when he tells Michael, "You don't want me as an enemy," to remind me, I thought it was great, of why Valentin is ringing all this hell down on Michael right now. Whether it's ELQ stocks,
right,
whether it's helping Nell get out and just cause a bunch of grief in his life about Wiley. I love that it's Valentin and why he's doing that.
I love that too. I totally agree with you on that point. It's like I said, the writers are killing it right now. They really got some great stuff going down, and I love where they're going. They need to keep doing more of it. It's keeping us fans like you and I and the kids in the chat room engaged and interested, I think.
One other thing I'm going to ask you as we're getting closer to the wrap-up is we see Brooklyn. She's been struggling. She's stuck under this contract. She gets Julian to try to rough up the manager. And I do like that the manager finally says to Valentin, like, "What? You know, you didn't tell me my life was going to be threatened. Like, what am I doing about all this?" And Valentin finally says, "Well, hey, if she's getting Julian involved, she's clearly ready to sell. So let's try to do this. She's desperate enough." So the manager goes to Brooklyn and says, "Hey, all right, sell me your stock and give me your shares in ELQ. You get your contract broken and we're all good." Olivia has a conversation with Brooklyn, and at no time does she, like, I was frustrated that Brooklyn never says exactly what the manager's asking of her. And you feel like Olivia gave her the worst advice at that moment. Where just like,
yeah, I feel like I need to see a better relationship or even better dialogue between Brooklyn and Olivia, because every time they're together, the conversation just seems very angry all the time. And it's always coming from a place of anger on Olivia's part. It's almost like she's mad that his daughter has come to town and jacked up her time with her hubby.
Yeah, I don't know why, you know, why she's so frustrated, but when she says, "Hey, if you can live with what you have to do to get out of this contract, then do it." I feel like, ugh, that's the worst thing to say to Brooklyn right now. Because
Brooklyn just reacts.
Yes.
She doesn't think about anything. You're right. That's the worst thing she could have possibly said, because Brooklyn is not a rational person. I mean, this is the same person that, like you said, got into a record deal and didn't read her contract. Yeah. You a Quartermain. If you don't know how to do nothing else, you need to know how to read a contract.
I will at least give the writers and Brooklyn credit for when he does offer to take the ELQ shares in exchange for the contract, that she does say, "Wait, hold on a second." It starts rattling some business jargon at him. She's like, "Do you even know what that even means?" And he's like, "No, I don't know." It's like, "Well, why do you want?" I didn't like that she was smart enough to, like, what's your angle? What's your agenda? Why do you want these? So
exactly.
But I feel like for the storyline purposes, she's got to sell. She's got to trade the stocks, right?
Yeah, I just feel like I was excited about Brooklyn coming to Port Charles, and now I'm starting to get bored because it's like a broken record that keeps playing.
Yeah. It's just like,
you know, we keep talking about this manager. We keep talking about this contract. It's like, we need to have a resolution to that. And I know it's not on the front burner of what they're trying to accomplish in the storyline of things with, you know, other characters, but I need for this not to be the only point of contention that she has to discuss when she has screen time.
And I can't imagine that. Well, I mean, I guess we're going to say when Michael E. Knight comes back, and to see how much stock from ELQ that he's able to get from other people out on his European adventures. Because I can't imagine that Nell share that he got, as well as if he gets Brooklyn share, is enough to really do any damage at ELQ. I mean, he'll be a nuisance, but he won't be able to do much damage.
But we have to remember that Nell doesn't really have any stock in the real scheme of things. She thinks she has stock because of, what's the boy's name?
Oscars, yes.
Shiloh. She thinks she has stock because of Shiloh. We now know that that's not true because Wiley was not Shiloh's kid. So, and technically, she doesn't really have any stock.
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, we're still waiting for that to be arbitrated. So I don't even know how she could sell this to begin with. That's all for, I feel like that's going to
exactly.
Carla Renata, holy cow, thank you so much for calling in. I know the fans loved it. Taking time out of your super important
Sunday.
Oh, I'm so
glad. Hey, y'all, I miss y'all, but I will see y'all next week for sure, for sure, for sure. And Frank, thank you for holding it down as always. I love you to death.
Absolutely. Oh, the crowd goes wild. Carla.
And who we got engineering? Is it Josh?
Of course.
It's me, Carla.
And Josh.
And the fans are loving
Josh
you calling
in. Josh
and
Frank are holding it down. I love y'all for that.
Now, Carla, you've been working on some awesome stuff. So if the folks want to follow whatever you're doing, where's the best place they can find you?
You guys can find me at the rest of season 5 of Superstore at NBC on Thursday nights at 8 o'clock. Always, always, always. You can find me across all social media platforms at The Curvy Critic. You can find me at The Curvy Critic with Carla Renata at Black Hollywood Live on Sundays right before the GH Report. And you can also find me on Facebook and YouTube for season 3 of You Know That Scene, which is a show produced by Focus Features.
In fact, you were filming that today.
I was filming that today. That's why I'm not there and I'm on the phone.
Look at that.
Because we wrapped a little later than I had anticipated.
Look at that. That media empire every week just gets a little bit bigger and wider. It's great. Carla, thanks so much for taking time out of your
Frank.
Sunday. Thanks for calling in, Carla. We'll see you next Sunday in person.
See you next Sunday, 6 o'clock, the GH Report, baby.
That's right. Bye, Carla. All right, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. I was glad that Carla was able to call in, so we got a little bit of the back and forth that I know you guys enjoy so much. But as always, thanks for watching. And like us on Facebook. Give us 5 stars on iTunes. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. And thank you, everybody, for hopping in the chat, giving Carla some love for taking time out of her Sunday to give us a call here. But if you want to stay in touch with, you know where to find Carla. But if they want to stay in touch with you, where can they find you?
They can all find me at TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter at JOAL323.
That's right. If you want to talk about Warheads, Josh is your boy. He's ready to have all that hot Warhead talk.
I'll be ready.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Happy Go Jackie. Folks, we'll be back here next Sunday with Carla in person in studio, fingers crossed, for an all-new episode of the GH Report right here on AfterBuzz TV. See you later, folks.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.